This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
Capricorn FM, Limpopo's hottest frequency, the best of lunchtime radio, as you know, man, is in full swing on a Friday afternoon, right? Time to kick back, cruise into the weekend, and fire up those engines for another edition of the Capricorn FM Adventure Motoring Experience. This week, our motoring journalist, Prashirwan Naidu, is back, and he's, you know, been getting his hands dirty, like the rugged, refined, and unmistakable iconic Jeep Wrangler. Plus, he also popped in at the launch of the all-new Haval 86 in Cape Town. We'll get a quick take on that too, right? He will never forget us with the motoring tip and that hot jam of the week to wrap up the week. Yes, he is on the line right now. Good afternoon, Prashirwan. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, King Dash. I'm fantastic in yourself and to the listeners out there.
Oh, man, thank you so much for taking your time once again, Prashirwan, to join me this Friday afternoon. I really do appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Always a blessing, man. Always a blessing.
All right, now let's get into it, Prashirwan. The Jeep Wrangler, right? It's a legend, I mean, it's in its own right. But the first impressions, you know, on the refreshed design, what is it for you? Is it a miss? Is it a hit? Is it a yay? Is it a nay?
You know, it's definitely a hit. The Wrangler's design sticks to what the fans love. It's still got that unmistakable, you know, seven-slot grille, some chunky wheel arches, and that iconic boxy shape on wheels that dates back to actually World War II. So, you know, this new Jeep brings a subtle twist, a facelift, some sharp cosmetic updates, new wheels, refreshed colors, and, you know, just the revisions from the grille. Just to keep things, you know, fresh without losing that charm that it has. And instantly it's recognizable as a Wrangler. And yes, that's exactly the point. And that was actually my first time getting behind the wheel of it. So I was quite smitten. And I didn't know you could actually take apart the vehicle. What I'm trying to say is the roof. You can take off the roof.
Yes.
You can take off the doors.
Yes.
You can take off. That was, obviously there's a lot of admin involved.
I've actually been in one, but I've never, you know, seen how it is done, Prashirwan. You know, I've just been in one. They just came to pick us up. There was no doors, no roof. It's like a convertible on another level. Like, I can't even call it a convertible, but I'm like, I called it the naked car for the day. You know, I just don't know the admin behind stripping those body parts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's
gets
something
a lot of
else.
Attention,
it really does. It really, really does, you know. But since we've covered, you know, the outside, let's get inside the cabin, right? Any surprises or shortcomings with that?
So inside, the new 12.3-inch touchscreen immediately grabs your attention. It's a big step up, but now stand across the range, which is great. A good thumbs up. In the Sahara trim I drove, you get a nice wall board navigation, heated front seats, and a steering wheel. And there's lots of multiple USB ports and USB ports galore. So that's great for the technophobes out there. It's both for practicality and durability. So while it's not luxurious per se, it's comfortable, tech-savvy, and definitely functional. Parking's easier too, lots of sensors and reverse camera. But one slight drawback that I noticed was just due to that whole drop top kind of decompart, whatever the word is, with taking off the doors and things.
Yeah.
I noticed that you will notice that there's a lot of noise that still filters in, but that is expected from a Wrangler. I mean, it is a Jeep Wrangler, so that could be due to that it's, you know, you sometimes got to sacrifice there's a saying sometimes, you know, you just go with it, you go with the flow, I guess,
right? yeah most definitely. So now let's speak about the driving, right? What's under the hood when you put that pedal to the metal? How does it feel like on the road?
Just a big changer, hey? They've gotten rid of the 3-liter V6, so Jeep's replaced it with a new 2-liter 4-cylinder turbocharged motor. Still produces the same amount of power from the previous one, 200 kilowatts, 400 newton meters of torque. It's smoother, it's more responsive, and honestly a lot more refined than the old engine. And you still get an 8-speed gearbox, but it's a lot more of an optimized engine. It's not exactly frugal. Jeep claims 11.1 liters per 100 kilometers, but I was getting 14, and that's still driving. I'm putting some effort into trying to bring the fuel consumption down. So it's still a thirsty beast, but it's punchy. It's much more pleasant to live with day to day, to say the least.
Okay, okay. Now let's speak about the competition, Pursuit. I mean, how does the Wrangler, you know, still hold its own? And is it still in its own lane? You know what I mean?
Still, the Wrangler isn't trying to be like the others. You know, it's off-road first, of course. Everything else second. While some rivals are, you know, moving towards soft road crossover vibes, I think the Wrangler just doubles down on adventure. The Sahara's got some off-road cred, good off-road cred. You get lots of things like electronic locking diffs and solid axles and higher trim. And if you go for the full-spec Rubicon, which is a slight bump against ours, ours is about 1.2 million, and the Rubicon is just 100 grand extra. It's about 1.3. So you're getting equipment inspired by the Rubicon Trail in the U.S., one of the world's apparently toughest routes to drive. It's 35 kilometers of stretch. So you can't take, if you're in the USA, that's where people take their off-roading cars to put it to the test. But yeah, I think it's good. And if competitors, GWM Tank 300, you've got your traditional workhorses, your Fortuna, your Isuzu MU-X, and Ford Everest. But this is just a car that has a cool fact. If you want to stand out, why not? And if you have the money to splurge, okay, go for it. But
it,
you know, you're going to sacrifice a lot of that reasonable, practical, logical sense if you're going to buy a car or SUV.
All right. And now, before we let you go, Prashivan, I mean, give us a quick verdict on the new Haval H6. How was the launch and what caught your attention? And what I've also realized, Prashivan, I think the Chinese are really shaking the market. And maybe it's just me, but I see a lot of these Chinese-branded cars now. And I see new brands that are even coming out when it comes to buggies, when it comes to the SUVs. I feel like they are here to actually shake the market, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're absolutely right, King Bash. I think I couldn't have said it any better, really, truly. But honestly, when you were at the Haval H6 launch, I mean, they put a lot of effort into pricing-wise, because this range kicks up from about 400,000 Rand, 495, I believe, to about 800, depending on the model grade you go for the new H6. There's been revisions design-wise and cabin-wise, lots more tech. But they've still kept the same hallmarks of what made it popular, which was just that budget-friendly, a lot more bang for your buck, and the efficiency. We didn't drive the hybrid, which is what everybody loves, but we drove the natural aspirated motors with the turbocharged. But to be fair, I think they really, GWM as a whole and the Chinese manufacturers, they're coming in strong here, and they're coming in strong to break and kind of do some damage to, they've already done damage to other legacy brands. And I must admit that I'm for it, but it's just sometimes you also, the longer term of owning a vehicle like that is where my mind kind of, that thought lingers a little less. I'm thinking, why not just stick with your traditional EO Suzuki's, or simplicity is sometimes best than throwing in block tech and lots of features. But I thought the new HX was nice. If you have the old H6, it's not much. I wouldn't be in a hurry to buy the new one. It's just minor tweaks and facelifts and just an improvement and enhancement of what was before.
Oh, okay. Most definitely. Prashivan, thank you so much. Can you leave us with a motoring tip and a hot gem of the week?
Okay. No, thank you so much, King Bash, and the listeners out there. So, motoring tip, always adjust your headrest properly. It's not just there for comfort. It's actually a critical safety feature in the event of a rear and collision. A correctly positioned headrest can reduce the risk of whiplash or serious neck injuries. So just bear that in mind as well when you're driving. And let's end up with a classic by Leah, Back and Forth.
Thank you so much, Prashir, and have yourself a fantastic weekend. Catch you again next week, Friday.
Thank you so much, King Bash, and have a blessed one as always, and listeners out there. Cheers.
Cheers. And yes, that is Prashivan Naidu. You can catch his work on Eswatini Motoring and also check him out on the socials on Instagram. He's available at Prashivan_Naidu. Right, for now, Back and Forth.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.